So we're hoping on your tests on the base, second line from the bottom. Someone's been discussing the point that that when we have something repeated by a korban mincha, then that detail of the mincha is ma'akev. If you don't do it, then the korban is pasul. As opposed to when it doesn't repeat it, then we said that it's not. Then we said that it's not ma'akev. So to take examples, for example, we said in the Mishnah that there's one of the things you do with a mincha, for example, is hagosha, is touching it to the corner of the mizbeach. But since it only says that once, then therefore if it wasn't done, then the mincha is kosher. Similarly with a bunch of other things that we said. So that's the rule. So that's the basic rule. Whenever there's a repetition, it means that it's ma'akev. So now the Gemara says, maskif or avuna. So Rav Huna questions that. Harei melach, what about putting salt on a korban? We're not just talking about mincha. We're talking more generally when it comes to a korban. If the Torah repeats something, then it's ma'akev. But when it comes to putting salt on a korban, the leitana bekra, the pasuk doesn't repeat it twice, or ma'akev, and yet it is ma'akev. The Tanya, as we learn in a brisa, when the pasuk says bris melach olam hi, the pasuk says it should be a covenant of salt forever to Hashem, the various matnas kohona. Tosfos discusses that it may be a different, not that pasuk, but rather a different pasuk, melach bris alekecha, that you should never leave off the salt of the covenant of Hashem from on your korban. As opposed to really the pasuk that's in the Gemara over here, bris melach olam hi, is really referring to the matnas kohona in general, that there is as irrevocable, as long as there are korbanos, then there is as irrevocable as salt will never spoil. So it's not really talking about salt on the korbanos, it's talking about using salt as a metaphor for an indestructible covenant. So the pasuk is saying that there's a mitzvah to put salt on the korbanos, and that means shetei bris amur of a melach divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that means that there is a covenant with salt, that there should never be salt left off of the korbanos. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. Reb Shimon says, I agree with the concept, but I'm going to learn in a different way. Nemar kan bris melach olam hi. Here it says a covenant of salt forever. V'nemar lahalan bris kohunas olam. The Torah also describes the kohuna itself as a covenant forever, from which we can learn. Kashem sheyefshel, the korbanos v'lo kohuna. This says the korbanos can't be brought without kohenim. Kach yefshel, the korbanos v'lo melach. The same way, korbanos can never be brought without salt. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon basically agree on the concept that salt has to be brought on all the korbanos. The only question is how exactly we learn it. On the other hand, the Rambam writes that only with a mincha, if salt was not placed on the kohenet, is the mincha completely possible, as opposed to by other korbanos. It's kosher b'dieved. So the Kesef Mishnah explains that it's actually a machlokas over here, whether in fact, given that the pasuk says about salting in connection with the mincha, does it apply across the board to all korbanos or only to a mincha, and the Rambam paskens then that it's only by the mincha. The Medrash says actually that when Hashem first created the world and He separated the upper waters and the lower waters, so you have the upper waters are the ones that went and became the water in the heavens. Shamayim is Shamayim. There's water. And then you have the water here on earth, and you have the water that participates in the water cycle. So it says that the lower waters cried out to Hashem, we don't want to be separated. Why are we stuck down here on earth? And so Hashem appeases them and tells them there's going to be several things that are going to be brought from you by the Jewish people in the Beis Mikdash. One of them is the water that's poured on the Mizbeach during Sukkot, but another one is that from you is going to come the salt with which they'll salt their korbanos. And that's another reason why the Torah describes it as a covenant, because like Hashem made a covenant, so to speak, with the lower waters that they won't be deprived of being close to Hashem. They will be offered their product, the salt, will be offered to Hashem as well. Anyway, the point is that we see that salting the korbanos, or the point of the Rambam's way of learning, at least salting a mincha, is ma'akiv, even though it doesn't say it twice. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Katani Didan, Svirale. Well, we could say that when Rav says that only things that are repeated are ma'akiv, he might hold like the Tana of our Mishnah, Amar Loi Malach Kosher. In our Mishnah, we had said a bunch of things that if they weren't done with the mincha, then it's still kosher b'dieved, and one of them was v'loy malach, if he didn't salt it. Well, very well, the Tana of our Mishnah holds that the salt is not ma'akev. So Rav holds like that. Omele Abaya, but Abaya says that can't be. Ihochi, if that's so, lo yotzak nami, then when the Mishnah had said lo yotzak, that he didn't pour the oil to start the process of the mincha, would be lo yotzak klal. Does it mean that he didn't pour it at all, that can't be, because the pouring is definitely ma'akev. Rashi had explained on the Mishnah, because either because in fact it is repeated, and therefore follows Rav's rule, or because since the pasuk says v'yatzakta al ha'shamen, you should pour oil on it, mincha here. There's a mincha that implies that without the pouring of the oil, it's not a mincha. Unless, of course, obviously, we don't mean the kinds of menachas that don't have oil. We're talking about the normal mincha that does have oil. So obviously, in that Mishnah, when it says lo yotzak, doesn't mean it wasn't poured at all. Ela lo yotzak koyin ela zor. When it says lo yotzak, means a koyin didn't pour it, a zor poured it. Hochanami, well, then the same thing over here in the Mishnah. Lo malach koyin ela zor. It doesn't have to mean that it wasn't salted at all. It may mean that a zor salted it. However, the fact is it was salted. So at any rate, we don't have it. You might still explain that it means it wasn't salted, but at least we don't have a reason necessarily to say that it is so. So maybe in fact it means that it was salted, but it was salted by a zor. But if it wasn't salted at all, then indeed it might be possible. So then the question is: so how is that if it doesn't repeat in the Torah the point about the salt twice? It does say within the pasuk itself, it says all your korban mincha you should salt, and you should never allow the salt to cease. But the Gemara's understanding, that's not really a repetition. That's all in the same pasuk, so it doesn't really count. We're talking about that it would have to say in two different places. So the Gemara says Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers Abaya that no, you can't say that in the Mishnah it means that loy molach, that it didn't salt it, means that a koyan didn't salt it, however a zor did. You have to think about where is the salting done is on top of the Mizbeach, as we'll learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Well, v'chitala al daifchash a zor korv agabim Mizbeach, how could you think that a zor would be able to approach the Mizbeach? A zor is not allowed to go anywhere past the Ezra's Yisrael. Okay, he's allowed to go to a limited extent into Ezra's Koyanim when he has to do something in connection with a korban, such as the smicha or the shchita or whatever, but he's certainly not allowed on top of the Mizbeach. So there's no way that he'd be able to salt the koyanim there at all. Therefore, of necessity, So Rashi points out that actually the fact is the pasuk says in so many words it says that you're not allowed that a zor is not allowed to approach. I mean, it's not over here actually in a different place. Rashi explains that the pasuk actually says flat out that a zor is not allowed to approach the mizbeach. The Mishnah Lamelech points out that there is a different opinion that Amban holds is not actually an Isser for them to approach the Mizbeach, just to walk over to it. The Isser is to do an Avoida on it, and then the salting is not really considered an Avoida. But still, the point is that, so that's the point. In other words, given that the salting has to be done on top of the Mizbeach, of necessity it is an Avoida, and therefore, of course, the Zohar can't do it. So necessarily, if the Mishnah says loy malach, it means it wasn't salted at all, and therefore the Tana of our Mishnah wouldn't necessarily be disagreeing with the opinions that say that it's possible without salt. So that's one answer. So one answer is there is in fact machloikas on the topic. There is an opinion that if it wasn't repeated, then it's not ma'akib. Rav would hold according to that. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would hold differently. The Boisema, another answer, you could say, Kivin Dechsiva Be Bris, given that it says the expression Bris, a covenant with it, which means something that always has to be that way, come on, the Tana Be Kral Damya, then it can be considered the equivalent of the Pasuk, of the Pasuk repeating it. So in that case, then it would mean that, yes, the salting has to be done, and if not, then the Korban is possible. So how does that fit with our Mishnah? So a number of Achroinim explain that in that case, then we would still have to say that it means that a Zor salted it. A Zor doesn't belong on the Mizbeach, but let's say he did go up to the Mizbeach and he salted it. Well, let's say, for example, he didn't salt it on the Mizbeach, he salted it someplace in the Azara, which is also fine b'di'eved. So in fact, the halacha that Amman paskins, the halacha that salting is ma'akev by a mincha, so even though our Mishnah says that not, usually we paskin like a stam Mishnah, because after all we can understand our Mishnah to just be saying that if a zor did it, it's kosher. So therefore no contradiction from that case of salt to Rav's rule. Okay, but the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'loy tona beikra? What do you mean? Are you telling me the pasuk didn't repeat it? Right there in the pasuk, you have right there. So before we were saying that. Just now we were saying that maybe if it doesn't repeat it in a different pasukim, and now the Gemara is saying no. The fact is it's repeated in the same pasuk, and that's reason enough to consider it a repetition. Because the pasuk actually says v'hoksiv v'chol korban minchasa b'melach timlach. The pasuk says all your korban mincha you should salt with salt. So the pasuk finishes off al korban chatakrid melach, that on all your korbanos you should offer salt. So it can be that the question, is because of the double expression of Amelach Tinlach, or it can be because the fact that first it says you should salt, and then it says Alko Kavon Chatakul Melach, and the Rosh Hashanah says apparently that's what it is. So then it repeats it right there in the same pasuk. The answer is that repetition is not necessarily meant to tell us it's ma'akev, but rather Ahumi Boyle Luchidatanya. That we need, that repetition within the pasuk, we need to teach us what it says in a braisa. Ilu Nema Korban Memelach, namely, if the pasuk had just said every korban should be salted with salt, and it didn't say kol korban min choscha shenei ani, then you would learn from that after you ate him. Even if you're bringing wood to the mizbeach, then maybe you have to salt it first before you put it on the mizbeach to burn. The dam, or maybe the blood should have to be salted. Shenikru korban. After all, those things are also called a korban as well. Rashi points out as far as wood is called a korban, we find in Nehemiah, that at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, they were short of wood for the korbanos, and of course they need a lot of wood on the mizbeach to burn the korbanos. So various families donated; they made a girdle, and various families donated wood to the Beis Hamikdash for its supply. We're going to talk about that more. We're going to talk about that more on Amud Beis. In fact, in the end, what happened was, so they made it a standard thing. From then on, every year, those families, on the anniversary of the day when they originally offered the wood, on the anniversary of that day, that family would celebrate it as a family yom tov, and they would in fact bring, they would bring wood, and they would bring korbanos with it, and they would make a whole yom tov out of it. The Mishnah in Tainis lists all of them. But the point is that the point is, in other words, wood, and the pasuk calls it over there korban ha'etzim. The pasuk calls it over there the korban of wood. So therefore, the wood itself is considered a korban. So you could argue then that it means that the wood has to be salted. You could argue the blood has to be salted because, after all, the blood is the central thing of what the korban is all about. The blood has to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. So if it just said b'chol korban mamalach timlach without specifying the word min choscha, then you would think that even wood and even blood have to be salted before you put them on the mizbeach. Therefore, kamadayim mincha. Therefore, the pasuk says all your korban mincha. Ma mincha miyuchedes, so what's special about a mincha? Sha'achedim boin choyvala. Other things are necessary to be brought in order to bring it as a korban. Namely that you need wood on the mizbeach in order to burn the korbanos. So therefore, afkol sha'achedim boin choyvala. The same way, the rule will be anything where you need something else offered on the mizbeach in order to offer it, then it's something that needs to be salted. So therefore, not the wood and not the blood then. Because the wood, again, you don't bring anything else before you don't bring other wood in order to burn them. And the blood, you don't bring anything before it, you just sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Okay. So the Gemara says, "E ma mincha miyuchedes shema teres," but you could look at it a different way. A mincha is not only, yes, it needs something else to burn it, but you could also say a different special thing about a mincha. A mincha is special shema teres, that it makes something mutter. You offer the mincha, you offer the koimetz of the mincha, and now you can eat the rest of the shirayim. Af kol shematir, the same way, everything else that is matir, then it needs to be salted. So why not use that feature of the mincha instead to say, and the rule would be, and then in that case, ovi dam, so shamater. In that case, then we would include blood, which is mater. Because after all, the blood makes a murim, and then the meat, or the korban mutter. Therefore, the pasuk says, don't leave off the salt from your mincha, meaning me'al min chasecha is a miut, not that you can't leave it off the blood. So therefore, you could leave it off the blood, namely, you don't have to in the first place, you don't have to put salt on the blood. The Gemara, the Braisa continues. Then what about yochotei mincha kula to una melach? Fine, but you would think maybe the entire mincha has to be salted, because after all it says al minchoscha. So maybe it means the entire thing. No, Talmud Leimar, korban. Therefore, the pasuk says only the part which is a korban, namely korban, to'un melach, only the part which is a korban, namely the koimetz, and requires salt, ve'in mincha kula to una melach, the mincha as a whole does not require salt. Okay. So, in other words, in other words, the point is, the fact that the pasuk is repeating over and over about the salt is not necessarily tell us that it's ma'akiv, but to tell us these details that otherwise we wouldn't have known. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Braisa continues, Ainli ela koymetz mincha. So fine, you would only know that the koymetz of the mincha has to be salted. Minayim l'rabas es alavoyna. How do we know to also include the lavoyna, that it should also have to be salted before it's placed on the mizbeach? Now the Gemara is going to ask after we go through the Braisa. Wait, we said already that everything that's like a mincha requires melicha, and the lavoyna. But we said anything that's like a mincha in requiring something else for it needs salting, and the lavoyna requires something else because again you need wood on the mizbeach in order to burn it. So automatically it should be included. Why do we need a separate limud for it? The Gemara is going to discuss that soon. Anyway, the answer is ma'abani es lavoyna. We have reason to include the lavoyna shekein ba ima b'kliyachon because it comes in one keli with the mincha. It's sprinkled on top of the mincha in the first place, but then once you take out the koymetz and you put the koymetz in a kli sharis, then you put the lavoina with it, and then you put the lavoina with it and then you burn them. The Chiddushim HaMiuchasim LaRashba actually discusses two possibilities. It may mean that to begin with it comes sprinkled on the mincha, or it means is it really part of the mincha or not? But either way, the point is, in other words, it comes in one keli, therefore we can include it as well. So the Braisa continues, minayim l'rabas es halavoyna habar b'fnei atzma. Now, how do we know that it would also include lavoyna that's offered as a korban by itself? So a person voluntarily says, I want to bring lavoyna as a korban. And we talked about that a little bit in Zvachim, and we're going to talk about at the end of our Masechta Be'ezus Hashem, that a person is able to do that. Lavoina above of a zichin, as well as lavoina that's brought in the spoons or cups that go on the shulchan together with the lechem upon him, that also has to be salted. Vaktodas, and the ktodas that's brought every day, that also has to be salted. There is, by the way, in the recipe for the ktodas that we say every morning in Peter Maktodas, we have melach sedoim esedoiva, a quarter of a kav of salt from sedoim. So one way of understanding it is, and this is how the Rambam understands it, that it means that part of that in fact, when they made the ktodas, they would include salt in the mix to begin with. Rashi in Christus learns differently. He says the salt over there is, we have over there in Peter Maktodas, that they would use Yain Kafrisin, they would use wine from Kafrisin, which Rez Hashem will learn about when we get to that, what that means exactly, but anyway, they would use that as part of the preparation for the Tziporin, and then it goes on to say, if they didn't have Yain Kafrisin, then they'd use strong white wine, Chamar Chivarian Atik, old white wine, and then it continues, Melach Sedem Esreva, Rashi understands that it means, if they didn't have Yain Kafrisin, they would use a mixture of old white wine together with a quarter of a cav of salt. So according to him, the salt was not necessarily always included in the Ktoras, only if they needed that as part of the preparation for the Tzipurin, but nevertheless, from our Gemara, it comes out over here that even if not, they would still add salt to the Ktoras right before they offered it. Anyway, how do we know that's also the case? And minchas koyanim, as well as a mincha brought by koyanim, where no koyimitz is taken from it, because the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. Now, up till now, we talked about a mincha that has a koymetz taken from it, but how would we know that the same thing applies to a mincha that does not have a koymetz taken? Or minchas koyin mashiach, or the mincha of the koyin gadol, the minchas chavitin that he brings every day, same thing, it's also burnt completely on the mizbeach. Or minchas nesachim, and the minchas nesachim that comes together with certain animal korbanos. As well as the emurim of a chatos, the emuri oshem and of an oshem, the emuri kodshim and of other kodshim such as the shamit zibur, the emuri kodshim kalim and the ones from kodshim kalim, the evrei oila and the limbs of an oila, the oila sa'oif and the oila of a bird, all of those things. How do we know that those have to be salted as well? So minayin, how do we know? Talmud Loma, I'll call korban chatakrid melach. That is why the pasuk finishes off on all your korban, you should offer salt. Now again, we would have thought that meant all korbanos, except that we already excluded blood and wood. So therefore, so the point is that the point is that all that repetition in the pasuk is not to teach us that salt is ma'akiv, but rather it's to teach us that which things need salt and which do not. Once now, we still have the question that we had before, which would be how indeed we know that salt is not active. So again, we said possibly there are in fact opinions that say that it's not, and that would be the Tana of our Mishnah. On the other hand, we could say that everybody agrees that it is not active, and we would say because it says Melach Bris, because it says that there's a covenant, and therefore that's the equivalent of repeating it. Okay. Now let's analyze the Braisa. The Gemara says, "Omamar." So we said in the Braisa, "Ein yela koymitz mincha." We would only know so far that the koymitz of the mincha has to be salted. Minayim l'rabas es alavoyna. How do we know to include lavoyna? So we said, "Mar bani es alavoyna shekin ba'ima b'kliyachad." We said the lavoyna is included because it goes in one keli together with the mincha, or together with the claimants. So the Gemara asks, why do we even need that? We said that the mincha has this quality, that other things are brought as a requirement for it, because without wood you can't have a mincha, so therefore it's automatic, and the claimants, so therefore the claimants is included in that, or the lavoina rather is included in that. Why do we need a special limud? Why do we need something special in order to include the lavoina? So the Gemara answer is because Hochi Karma, what the Braitha means is as follows. Ema, because if it was just that we said that we're going to learn that anything that's similar to a mincha, but we could still say we only have maybe a klal prat over here. We would say korban klal. The word korban is a klal, so it would include everything, even blood and wood. Mincha u'mincha prat, the word mincha would be a prat, which would be then only a mincha. And we know klal prat ein b'klal ela mashal prat. When you have a klal prat, it means that the klal is limited only to the prat. We do not include anything else. Mincha ein midi achrin aloy. Maybe therefore it includes only the mincha and nothing else. Which in that case, obviously you could say, in that case then the Torah could have just said the prat and nothing else. But then on the contrary, we would learn from it by a binyan av to other things. When we have a klal of prat, the point of it is precisely that. Precisely because the Torah goes to the trouble of writing a klal and then a prat, then it means that the klal is limited only to the, it means that the klal is limited only to the prat. Don't try to use any other method to include include any other prasim. Anyway, so maybe that's what it means. Hoder Oma, but then the Tana of the Braisa says, no, al kol korboncha, when the pasuk continues, on all your korban, on all your korbanos, means chos of a kol, means now we have a klal again. So therefore we have klal of prat of klal. Yatzadon, elakein aprat. So now instead we judge, now instead we figure that the klal is not absolute because there's a prat in between, but it's not limited only to the prat because there's a klal at the end. Therefore we learn that it's going to be only things that are similar to the prat. Now we can do ma prat mefurash shachirim boin choy v'la. Now we can say what is special about the prat, the mincha, that other things are required as a requirement for it, namely that you need wood in order to burn it. As kol shachirim boin choy v'la, then the same thing, only other things where there's a choyva that comes at because of it, as a necessity, as a necessary prerequisite for it. And achedim the boin choyvala, and what would be, what has to be brought before there's going to be a mincha? My nihu, what would that be? Eitzim, the wood, because you need wood in order to burn the koymets and the lavoina. Afkol eitzim. So therefore, it would mean anything else that requires wood is going to require melicha. So from that itself, we learn not the wood, because the wood itself doesn't need wood, and not the blood, because the blood is just sprinkled on the mizbeach and also doesn't require any wood to be on the mizbeach. Meaning the Shittim Kubetis explains that brings from a collection of Tosfos called Tosfos Chitzonius, that essentially the flow of the Braisa then is that when the Braisa had said, how do we know to include Lavoina? So is because we're saying that because Lavoina comes in it with Kli Echad, nevertheless, so what we'd say is even if we only had a Klal Prat, automatically the Lavoina would be included by virtue of being in Kli Echad, by being in one Keli with the Mincha. Then we're saying, okay, what about when Lavoina comes by itself and all the other lists that it gave over there? Then the answer is that actually, because it says Alko Kobancha, then it means anything that's Keina Prat. This Tosfos Chitzonius goes on to say that to begin with, the Braisa knew that that's how it's going to be. We have a klal, a proper klal. So the Tana sort of pretended to not know that in order to be able to explain the exact flow of how in fact we learn it. So he's saying, Lavoina itself, we could learn, even without this klal, a proper klal, but to learn everything else, for that we require the klal, a proper klal. Okay. The Gemara asks, so, Ema achedim deboin choyva la nihu lavoina. Maybe we can say that the Levoina. So maybe we could say, maybe the rule is not that any, not when it says other things are coming as a requirement for it, then it would mean anything that requires something else to go with it, not necessarily before it, but with it. The Aisidam, the Ikka Nesachim, in which case we would actually say that it would include the blood, because together with the blood of many karbanas, you have nesachim that come with it. They don't come before it. The blood is sprinkled first, but then they come. But fine, maybe the rule is not anything that has to have something before it. Maybe it's anything that has to have something with it. So a mincha has to be accompanied by levoina, and blood has to be accompanied by nesachim. So, in fact, they kind of have the same relationship, because both of them, you have a primary thing, you have a primary mincha, and then you have the levoina comes with a secondary. The same way you have primary blood, and then you have the nesachim that come with it as a secondary thing. So, in fact, the Rabbeinu Gershom points out another angle on it as well. When a person brings a mincha, he also has to bring the levoina with it. And the same way when a person brings a korban, he has to bring the nesachim with it. But on the other hand, the wood is brought from the tzibur. Even the families that brought wood, like we were talking about before, they have to give that wood fully over to the tzibur. So you could say that wood by mincha and wood by all the other korbanos are similar. So how do you know? Maybe you should learn like that. Maybe, and then you would include, so then fine, you'd exclude wood, but you'd include blood and say that it has to be salted. The answer is nesachim b'hadi emurin u'da'asu. The answer is because the nesachim are not brought together with the blood. They're brought together with the emurim. When you offer the emurim on the mizbeach, or in the case of an ola, when you offer the whole thing, then you bring the nesachim with it. Why? My time, man. What's the logic? Achila or shia. Because you put eating together with drinking. So when you're having the mizbeach eat and consume the emurim, whichever parts of the korban are supposed to be put on the mizbeach, then together with it, you also give the mizbeach a drink of nesachim, of the wine and the flour and oil. Okay, the flour itself is eating, kind of, but the point is, you have the oil in it, and you have the wine, which are considered nesachim, which are poured, the libations. So you're giving the mizbeach to eat and drink at the same time, kind of. So the Gemara asked Adrabba, well, on the contrary, you could argue maybe the Nesachim should be brought together with the blood, because kapara v'simcha, after the blood has been sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and the person has been atoned for his Aveda, for whatever it is he brought the carbon for, then you have a simcha of wine being poured on the Mizbeach, where wine creates a simcha, a famous pasuk that says that wine is sameach alekim v'adam, it gladdens Hashem and people, it gladdens Hashem by being offered on the Mizbeach, and it gladdens people because people are happy when they drink wine. So maybe you should say that the Nesachim are brought together with the sprinkling of the blood. So no, that's not a valid way of thinking of it, rather. So the Gemara says, Ella, no, here's how you think about it. Levoina bo ima b'kli achad. Because the fact is that the levoina comes with the mincha in one keli, or nesachim ain't boin b'kli achad, whereas the nesachim don't come in the same keli with the blood. Therefore, we don't have reason to say, when we're saying that a mincha and levoina have to be salted, the koimitz and levoina have to be salted, we shouldn't include blood in that. Havel eitzim, but we could take the view that when it comes to wood, it is the same, because after all, ki heichid miskasher b'hu mincha, just as you need them in order to make a mincha kosher, hachi miskasher b'hu kulu korbanos, the same way all other korbanos become kosher through, they're all a necessary prerequisite for them is wood. So even if you're going to say that the levoina has to be, is considered to go together with the mincha and therefore requires salting, that's not a reason to say that the blood that goes with the korban, even if you're going to argue that the sachim come together with the blood, but they don't come in the same keli. Wood doesn't come in the same keli either, but wood is the same for a mincha and everything else, and therefore you would have reason to argue that it should be included. If it weren't for the fact that the pasuk had said korban, if it weren't for the fact that the pasuk had said minchasta, meaning to exclude those things. Or ultimately, because we said we have a klal of prapter klal, and the klal of prapter klal teaches us that it's only things that are similar to a mincha, and neither wood nor blood resembles it. Okay, the Gemara says the ema, but still, we could learn the prat differently. Maybe it's both. Ma prat nefura, shachir and boin choyvela umateres. Maybe it's both. That other things need to be brought as a requirement for it, but also it's matir. Because that's a mincha, has both of those things. You need wood for it, but you also, you need wood for it, it is true, but you also need, you also have, it is matir something, because once you bring the koimetz, you can eat the rest of the mincha. So, af kol shachrinim boin choyv alo materas. Then it would include anything else where you have some requirement with it, and it's matir. Umayinu, so what would that include? For example, levoina habol bebezichin, so it would include the levoina that comes in the bezichin with the lachem aponim, shau yalachem, where once you bring that, then the lachem aponim becomes mutter to eat. And it also needs wood. Avo midiachrin aloy, but it wouldn't necessarily include all the other things because they're not matirim. So let's say, for example, when we had in the list, when we had the list, Lavoina that's brought by itself, it's not matir anything. The Ktodas is not matir anything. Minchas Koin and Minchas Koin Mashiach are not matir anything. Fine, maybe some of them, they Murichatas and Murichoshim, etc., make it allowed now for the Koinim to eat the meat, but most of them are not, most of them are not matirim. So how do we know that? How do we know that we shouldn't understand the Klal of Prophet Fall that way? And the answer is mid itzrich ma'amin choscha b'leim al-damcha, precisely because the Torah has to tell us that blood is not included because of the words ma'amin choscha, from which we learn not that blood is not included, meaning if it weren't for that mirut, we would have included blood. Now, why is that? And blood is only similar to mincha in one way, in that it's matir. It doesn't need wood. So therefore, we klal the hanach kulu also b'chad sad. Therefore, we see from that that you don't need the klal the prophet klal to include both concepts, that it is matir and that it requires something else. It's enough for it to have one. Blood has only one, that it's matir, and nevertheless, we would have included it if it weren't for the miut me'al min choscha. So the same way, all the other things, they only have to be similar in one way, namely that they need wood to go with them. So therefore, we can in fact include all those things because in fact it is true they are similar to a mincha in one way, and that is good enough. And that's good enough to do that. So therefore, that's how we can learn all the other things. So that's how we learn that all of them require salting. Okay. Now let's look at another point in that braisa. Omamar, so we'd said in the braisa, me'amen choscha v'lo me'al domcha. Well, let's look at that miut itself that was saying that you have to put salt on all your mincha, and from that we learned that other korbanos are included through the klal of prophet klal, but not v'lo me'al domcha, but not blood. So why? Fine, you're saying that the prat is a miut of something, but how do you know the thing that it's mimayit is blood? Ve'ema me'amen choscha v'lo me'al evarecha. Maybe it would mean from your mincha, but not from your evorim. So if you're offering limbs of a korban, in other words, the point is, this, you're saying that we're excluding blood because it's not similar to a mincha in that it requires something else before it doesn't require blood. That's true. But on the other hand, for example, the limbs of a korban oila are not matir anything because they themselves, the whole thing is burnt, and that's that. So you could argue. So if you're going to say me'almin choscha excludes blood because it's dissimilar in one way, equally well, you could say it's including blood, but it's excluding the limbs of an oila because those are dissimilar to a mincha also in one way, namely that they're not matir. So what makes you say that we should exclude blood more than we should exclude limbs of the mincha? I mean, of the oila. The answer is mistabra evorim havrele l'rabuye. It's more logical to say that we should include evorim and say that those need to be salted shekain ashban tome simen, because we can find things in which evorim are similar to a mincha for which the simen is the word ash or the two words ashban tome. So the first aleph, they're going to stand for Ishim, Bachutz, Noiser, Tumah, and Me'ila. So the last Aleph doesn't seem to be explained. So Tosfos brings from a bit of time that it means Oichel, because you usually salt food, and the same way Evorim in that sense are like the food of the Mizbeach. So according to that then, the simen includes all the differences. However, the Gemara would be bringing as the arguments. The Gemara would be bringing only things where there's a kula versus a chumra, as opposed to the fact that food is normally salted and liquids such as blood are not. The Gemara doesn't bother mentioning that point because that's not really a kula, and that's not really a kula or a chumra.
The Lamnatseach, the David, which I mentioned before, we talked about the Simonim, he has a long, you know, as he usually does, he has a long Kabbalistic explanation on the idea behind it. The word Eish, the beginning of a year, Eish Ban, has to mean fire, Ban, as in the Shem Ban, the name of Hashem, that adds up to a gematria of 52. And that there's klippus involved over there, and therefore you have the word tomei, and therefore you have the aleph is placed there at the end, even though it's not really necessary for the simen. Anyway, the simen goes as follows. First of all, so achirim boin chovelo kamosa. First of all, the evorim are like the mincha in that something else has to be offered together with them. Again, the mincha has to have wood on the mizbeach in order to burn it, and so do the evorim. Also. Ishim kamoisa. They're both burnt on the fire, just like it. So you really do have two alephs back to back, but the aleph at the end over there is more in order to make the word tomei. But anyway, and then as Tosfos says, it really stands for the word oichol kamoisa, which the Gemara is leaving off. So first of all, you have again achirim boin chovela. It's also both of them are ishim. They're both burnt, as opposed to the blood is not burnt. Bachutz kamosa. Both of them take place always outside in the azara, as opposed to blood. Sometimes there are korbanos, as we learned a lot in Zvachim. There are korbanos where the blood is brought into the heichel. You never find that wood is never brought into the heichel to burn anything there, and a mincha is never been a koymetz is never brought into the heichel over there. Also noiser kamoisa. Also the evorim, a person will be chayiv kares for eating noiser, just like a mincha, as opposed to blood, where noiser doesn't apply to it, because you have a limud in the pasuk that Rashi brings that even the koymet pigul doesn't apply to it, but noiser or tamei would apply, as opposed to by blood. Rashi refers to a gemara in Yoma that explains there's three psukim regarding blood, each of which tells us that a miut, that there's a certain din when it comes to kodshim, doesn't apply to it, and one of them tells us that the concept of noiser doesn't apply to blood. If a person were to the blood, he'd be also for he'd be a chayiv for eating the blood anyway, because it's chayiv kodesh for blood, but he wouldn't be chayiv for noiser. Anyway, so noisa kamoisa, so therefore the limbs are like the mincha, are like the koymets, in being subject to the dinim of noiser. Tuma kamoisa, also the dinim of eating them betuma, the same thing. A person who's tame eats the koymets or eats the evorim is going to be chayiv kares for it. And the same thing with both of those, but not with blood. By blood, again, if he eats them, then there's no issur of misa. There's misa for blood itself, but there's no misa for eating it there's no misa for a tummy person eating it specifically. Me'ila kamosa. Next, the dinim of me'ila apply equally to the evorim and to the mincha, as opposed to the blood, me'ila does not apply to it. There is a concept it mentions in Yuma that after the blood goes out of the azara, after it drains out of the azara, then there is me'ila in it, although the Gemara explains there was only d'rabbanan. The Chum didn't want the farmers over there should take it and use it for fertilizer for free. We want them to pay the Beis Mikdash for it, and therefore the Chumim said that it's subject to me'ila. But midaraisa, me'ila would not apply to blood. So you have all of these ways in which Evorim and the koibets of the mincha are very similar, and therefore we have reason to say that if we're going to include that something is similar to a mincha and exclude something which is dissimilar, then we have more reason to exclude the blood more than the Evorim. Okay. However, the Gemara asks, but you could argue that on the contrary, we should include blood and say that's more similar to the koimetz. Shekein matir kamoisa. First of all, it's a matir, just like the koimetz, because again, it makes the rest of the korban mutter to do the next stage with, as opposed to the evorim or not, because once the blood is sprinkled, the evorim are burnt, there's nothing else to be matir. Nifsal b'shkiyas achama kamoisa. And another difference is, another similarity is that both of them become posel by shkiyas achama once the blood becomes posel by shkia, as we learned about it in Zvachim. Rashi brings psukim about it that we learned in Zvachim. And similar kamosa, just like it, because the koymetz also becomes posel by shkia, as opposed to the evorim, you could continue burning them all night. So therefore, so you have those similarities as well. So the Gemara answers, Hanach Nefishan. That's true, but you have six similarities, or seven, according to the Siman, between Evorim and the Koimetz, and only two between the blood and the Koimetz, and therefore six or seven wins out over two. So the Chayt Nassan points out that Gemara had asked the question, because still we could argue that these two things are much more important. So therefore they should maybe outweigh the other, but the fact is that the six or seven still outweigh the two numerically. Tosfos brings up the point that why don't we also count Pigle, that here's a third similarity as well. Neither blood nor the koimet would a person be chayav for eating them a third Pigle, as opposed to he would be chayav for the Evonim. So the Sfasemis gives an answer that similar to what Tosfos had said themselves before, that the Gemara is only talking about things where there's a chumrah in it, as opposed to here we were saying this is a kula, that pigul doesn't apply to them, so we shouldn't say that malicha applies to them because of that. Another answer that's given in one of the Mephoshim, Yes and Abbas, is that when the Gemara had said that they're matir, that itself includes automatically, if they themselves are the matir, then pigul doesn't apply, because when we learned the dinim of pigul, we learned that it doesn't apply, by definition, it doesn't apply to the matir itself. So therefore, it's not really a separate thing. Tosfos also goes into, when we're saying over here that the blood becomes possible by Shkia Sechama, Tosfos goes into a very long discussion about what we mean by Shkia Sechama, about that. This is the famous thing about about Rabbeinu Tam's Shkia, where we have that where we have what we usually think of as Shkia is when the sun dips below the horizon. But then you have the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, famously as far as the times for Shabbos and Yom Tov, where he holds that Shkia is actually considerably later when the sky is pretty much dark and when you have no light of the sun left in the sky. He holds that it's like there's two Shkias. So there's one Shkia where the sun sets, and there's another one where all the light has disappeared from the sky. And then Tosfos discusses that in some detail over here, and there are other places in Shas also where they discuss this point. You have the famous opinion of Rabbeinu Tam about Shabbos beginning and ending considerably later than we're used to. I've read where in Europe there were Kehillahs that followed Rabbeinu Tam as far as both the beginning and end of Shabbos, so they would start Shabbos almost an hour later than those who begin at what we consider Shkia, according to the Alter Rebbe's, and then there's only going Shita, but then they would end it later as well. Nowadays, I don't think there are any Kehillahs that still begin Shabbos according to Rabbeinu Tam's time, but of course there are Kehillahs that end it according to his time, and therefore they end it considerably later than those who follow. Those who follow the Vilna Gaon and the Alter Rebbe. Okay. In any case, the point is, we've shown that there are in fact more similarities between a Vorim and a Mincha, and therefore if we're going to say that the Torah is telling us that there's something that doesn't have to be salted, it's more logical to exclude blood and say that it doesn't have to be salted, rather than to say that that would be the case with a Vorim. So the Gemara continues. So Omamar, now we said in the Braisa, if it said only v'chol korban mamelach timlach, if it didn't say the word minchoscha, shemeyani afil eitzim v'dam shenikru korban, then you would have thought to include also blood, also wood and also blood, because those are called a korban. As we said before, the wood is called a korban, korban eitzim, as it calls it in the Nechemia, and blood is called a korban because it's the central thing of the korban. So the Gemara asks, Man Shamat Le Da'omer Eitzim Ikri Korban. Yeah, but which Tana is it that we find that says that wood is called a korban? Rebbe, that would be specifically according to the opinion of Rebbe. Well then, the problem is, Le Rebbe Miboya Bol Melach. As a matter of fact, according to Rebbe, wood does require salt when you're offering it on the Mizbeah as a korban of its own. So, in other words, how does it work? If you're going to tell me that the Braisa is telling us that wood is called a korban, nevertheless, even though it's called a korban, you don't put salt on it because of that niyut that it has to be some, because of that klala prato klal, that it has to be similar to, that it has to be similar to a mincha in that it requires something else with it. So in other words, on the one hand, it's called a korban, but on the other hand, it's excluded from salt. But Rebbe is the one who points out that wood is called a korban, and that it's possible to donate wood, and therefore that in fact it would require something else, and it would require salt according to him. So who does that braisa go according to? According to Rebbe, miboya bo, in fact they do require salt. The Tanya, as we learn in the braisa, korban mincha, when the pasuk says that a person can voluntarily bring a korban to Hashem. Now, why does it say korban? Nefesh is active mincha, it could have said. Melamed shemisnad ven eitzin. From here we learn that you're able to donate wood to the mizbeach. Now, comma, how much wood, if a person is going to bring wood to the mizbeach, what's the minimum amount he has to bring? The answer is shnei gizrin, two large pieces of wood. Much later in the Masechta, we're going to talk about the size of the pieces of wood that were brought on the mizbeach. They were an amma, and they had a certain thickness to them, the size of the thickness of a standard leg of a bed, as they had in those days. That was the standard size pieces of wood that they used on the mizbeach. So therefore, if a person is saying that I'm going to bring a korban of wood, then it has to be at least that amount. V'chein hu omer, as in fact we find. Because every day, every morning and every afternoon in the Beis Hamikdash, they had to bring two pieces of wood like that on the Mizbeach. Aside from that, they had to set up a wood pile over there. There was a special thing we have in Abayav Masada, Shnei Gizri Eitzim. So therefore, the minimum that a person is going to bring has to be that amount. Tosfos points out, by the way, that when we say that they're arguing whether he can donate wood, when he says I want to bring these pieces of wood to the mizbeach. So Tosfos brings from a braisa, a person says I want to bring wood to the mizbeach, but he doesn't bring the wood itself. He brings the value of these two pieces of wood, and the kohenim go and bring it on the mizbeach. And then if he says, I want to bring these particular pieces of wood, that a Kohen accepts it from them and offers them on the Mizbeach. So you have to bring at least two. V'chein ho'omer, as we find, wood is called a korban. V'ha'gerdol as hipalnu our korban ha'etzim, as the pasuk says, we talked about before in Nehemiah, where it says we made a girdle on the korban ha'etzim. So Rebbe Omar, and Rebbe says, not only you can donate wood. Fine, that part that you can donate, both Rebbe and the Chachamim agree. But Rebbe Omar, Eitzim Korban Minchahein. Rebbe says the wood is actually considered like a Korban Mincha. Or to Unin Melach, that would actually require salt. You would have to salt the wood before you put it on the Mizbeach. Or to Unin Hagosha, and just like a Mincha, you would have to touch it to the corner of the. You would actually have to touch it to the corner of the mizbeach, just like a mincha made out of flour. You have to touch it to the corner of the mizbeach. The same way, Rebbe says you would have to do the same thing with a mincha of the same way you would have to do with wood, which Rebbe is considering is also in effect considered a mitzvah. Is also considered a mincha. So therefore, you see that according to Rebbe, you do in fact need salt on it. He's the one who says it really is considered a korban, and it actually requires salt. So again, there'd be the difference whether he says that he wants to bring the value or whether he brings the wood itself or whatever Rebbe is saying. And Rava says, according to that way of looking at it, you would need salt and you would need to touch it. Va'omar Rava, and furthermore, Rava says, the divrei Rebbe, furthermore, according to Rebbe, that we consider it like a korban mincha, eitzim to'unim k'mitzah. You would actually have to take a koimet from the wood like korban mincha. The pasuk that it says that the Tosfos points out, the pasuk that we're learning from says by korban mincha, it says korban mincha. So therefore, Rebbe is going to treat it exactly like a mincha in the sense you need to take a koimetz from it. How would you take a koimetz from wood? But pashtus, what you would do is you'd have to break part of it into little chips or something, and then you would take a koimetz from it. Tosfos also points out that even though the whole thing is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and there's no Shirayim, nevertheless we have such a thing later in the Masechta. We have an opinion that says that a certain kind of mincha that's brought by Kohen, a mincha schoita that's brought by a Kohen, you still take a koimetz from it and then burn the Shirayim by themselves. So here you do the same thing. Here you do the same thing with the wood, according to Rebbe. So fine, you'd have to do it. Practically speaking, you'd have to then break it up into tiny pieces and then take a koimetz from that. Okay. So,
So we see that according to that, you would need also a koimetz, the Amar Papa, and further, the Papa says, the Divrei Rebbe, according to Rebbe, you would also have to say Eitzim, Tzuchim Eitzim. As a matter of fact, that wood would have to also require wood to burn it, the same way as a mincha needs wood that has to be brought the same way. We'd say if you're bringing wood by itself in the korban, then you would actually have to have that there's wood on the mizbeach in order to burn that. So it would really be considered completely. It would really be considered almost completely like a mincha. Sfasemis points out, since a mincha can sometimes be brought without lavoina, therefore we don't require lavoina with this wood as well. But the fact is, you would in fact need to bring wood with it. So we see that according to Rebbe, he's the one who says that wood is actually considered a full-fledged korban mincha, but according to him, it does need salt. How then do we say that the Braisa on Amar Aleph is saying that even though it's called a korban, it doesn't require salt? I mean, one answer is fine. Smimikan Eitzim, you have to delete the word Eitzim, the word wood, from that Braisa before and say that the Braisa is only taking out that blood doesn't require salting. But wood, in fact, if you're bringing wood as a separate carbon, then you would in fact need to put salt on it. So in other words, the Chachamim would agree that wood can be brought as a korban, but they're not calling it a korban when the Braisa had used the expression before that it's called a korban and nevertheless it doesn't need to be salted. That would be according to Rebbe. Another point. This Fasemis brings another point as well. Okay, but even both Rebbe and the Chachamim agree the regular wood that's burnt on the Mizbeach all the time, it doesn't need salting. So maybe then the Braisa just means that. Why do you have to delete the word wood? And the answer is because those are not called a korban. Only when you have something that's called a korban, and we're saying that it doesn't need to, and again, that would only work according to Rebbe, who actually calls wood a korban. There's a sticha in Chelek Yud Zayin where the Rebbe talks about this whole point, this whole machlokas of wood. Now we do have a concept, by the way, later in the Masechta we're going to talk about that a mincha, an actual mincha of flour, cannot be brought by two people together. But here we're saying that there were families that brought it together. So the point is because it's a special kind of thing. In other words, if a person is going to bring wood by himself, then it has to be by himself, not together with others. But if he's bringing as a family, then that's why. As the Rebbe discusses in this point, that the korban eitzim itself is, again, you have this point, whether the Chachamim consider it a full-fledged korban, they don't, and Rebbe does, but the Rebbe explains it goes l'shitasam. There are other places in Shas where we similarly find machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim about the meaning of a word, So therefore, and the Rambam, in fact, writes that it wasn't just the wood by itself, it wasn't considered a full-fledged korban, they would actually bring olas together with it. Well, then, in that case, that neatly answers how families could bring it, because it's not really considered a korban mincha. We would not say, like Rebbe, it does not actually require a koimetz and salt and all of that. So therefore, instead, they bring another korban together with it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela krola mo'otimai. Well, then after all, we have to ask, what exactly do we need the miyot for? Before we said that we're doing the miyot is blood and wood. Now that we're saying delete wood and we're only being the mayat blood, still, what do we need it? Lamo'otimai. Are you telling me that blood doesn't need to be salted? Me'almin choscha nafka. That we learn from the end of the pasuk where it says, Me'almin choscha. Because we learned from that blood doesn't require malicha, because we said only when achedim boin choy v'lo, only things where something else comes as a requirement together with it, which blood does not. So to begin with, why do we need the word minchasa? Why do we need the word minchasa at the beginning of the pasuk to exclude blood if we're anyway going to exclude it from the klal protocol based on the klal protocol? The answer is, the Gemara says, it's not so much that you have to delete the word. Not so much that you have to delete the word wood, that you have to delete the word eitzim, but atik eitzim va'ayon nesachim. You do delete the word wood, but instead put in the word nesachim, and say that nesachim do not have to be salted.
D'Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, Havala Yayin Vadam Vaitzim Vaktotis and Tonin and Melach. A Braisa says that wine and blood and the wood and the Ktotis do not require salt. So before we had the Braisa saying that Ktotis did require salt on Chofam and Aleph, now we're saying this Braisa says that in fact it does not. And neither does the wine of Nesachim, and neither does the blood, and neither does the Ktotis. Okay. So when we had before in the Braisa that we said that from the word minchoscha at the beginning of the pasuk, we're excluding blood and wood. Now we're saying we're excluding blood and now we're saying that we're excluding blood and nesachim. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue discussing what exactly does and doesn't need to be salted, and then we'll continue with more dinim about the blood of korbanos, and more dinim about the levoina of korbanos and everything.
7 o'clock tomorrow.
Beis Hashem, yes.